and welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This is our special Father's Day show, and I'm so proud of my two daughters, Heather Tokini Barnes and Jennifer Tokini, for so many reasons. They have both been featured on our shows over the last 10 years, but today starts a new tradition as we ponder some intriguing questions between father and daughters. And we thank our sponsors of this show, Blinkist.com. That's the home for micro-learning. We go to Blinkist.com through our app, and in 15 minutes or less, we get access to over 3,000 nonfiction books. We just love it. And if you want to start Blinkist today, you can go to Blinkist.com/success. That's BLINKIST.com/success. And get 25% off your next subscription. It's a good deal. We know you're going to enjoy it. So welcome to two of my favorite people in all the world, Heather Tokini Barnes and Jennifer Tokini. How are both of you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Happy Father's Day again.
Let's start today's show with this. You both know that my real role as a dad was to guide you toward figuring out your purpose, who you were meant to be, and lead you toward honoring that call in the best way possible. So starting with you, Heather, how are you doing against that vision?
I think I have led with purpose, and I'm following my passion. I think it took a couple of different paths to find the one that I'm loving the most, but at the end of the day, I want to follow something that excites me when I wake up in the morning, and it's all I want to work on, and I feel like I'm finally, after, you know, 15 years out of college, wow, that's a long time, high school, I'm finally figuring out what I want to do, and I'm so excited about it, and I've never had so much creative energy in my entire career. So I wake up and I try and fulfill that every single day. So it's very exciting.
From the beginning, you really encouraged us to follow our passion, and, you know, no matter how hard it could be. And about 10 years into, after leaving college, I have really still been hitting the ground running. And, you know, one thing that you really taught us was to not give up, and, you know, having that supportive system in place has really been helpful. And as hard as days may get, it's still, you know, following your passion is, you know, incredibly important, and leading with purpose as well.
Well, thanks to both of you for that progress report. It sounds like you're making some good progress, and we'll probably ask that again on next year's show as well. Hey, here's our next question. Why is it so important for young dads to become heroes to their children?
I think because that's who you look up to when you're young. That's, you know, you observe as a child, you observe your parents and their relationship, and you see them demonstrate love towards one another, and you use that as your example, like your one example that you see every single day. This is what I'm meant to have in a partner, and this is what I'm meant to do with my career. And you're there every single day. You have to be a hero to your kids because that is all they have.
I think especially on Father's Day, it's important to, you know, honor not just biological dads, but dads and male role models that kids have. And I think, you know, it's important to have those role models, no matter, you know, what capacity they're in. But I think, you know, it doesn't take a lot for a kid to look up to a male role model or a father as a superhero. And I think that's something that just comes with the territory. But I think just being there for kids, in any capacity, makes a difference in their life.
Hey, that's a good point. For those of you listening, you can go to our website, successmadetolast.com, and click on Cause and learn more about why we think fatherhood.org is so important. We think that the start of being a hero is your mere presence as a dad.
Also, just being engaged with a kid and asking them questions and playing with them and just spending quality time with them. I think they could look up to anyone that, you know, actually shows an interest in them and is leading with a good example.
Hey, that's a nice bridge over to our silly question of the day. How does life parallel the game of arachnid? So one of you should start by telling our listening audience about the definition of this fun game that you played as kids.
I don't remember the objective of the game arachnid, which arachnid is means what, a spider, and you laid on the ground as a spider and you couldn't move your body, but you could move your limbs, and we would run around you screaming and yelling, and you would try and grab us into your web, essentially, and that was the game. I don't know how it parallels life. Jennifer, what do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, I think for us, I mean, that was something that was just so fun. As kids, you didn't really, you just had, you were present with us and we created games and you didn't need to have physical objects. It was just your creativity. And I think that's something that has stayed with us both throughout our careers, is that, you know, just inspiring us and like pushing us to, you know, have that time to be bored, to have to make up our own games and make up our own stories. I think that's been such a huge, you know, has made such a huge impact on both of our lives.
I think a lot of adults forget to experience curiosity and playtime as adults. And I feel like as adults, we should carve out time in the day to have playtime, like intentional playtime to inspire creativity and stimulate the imagination. Like, you need that in your life, for sure.
And kudos to your mom, the one and only Carla, who helped create a very funny, lighthearted household. And speaking of lighthearted, I want to know what makes you laugh really hard today. And I mean rib-hurting, gut-busting laughter.
I don't know. I don't remember the last time I laughed that hard. I would say maybe something on TV, like watching a comedian, like Dave Chappelle is my favorite comedian. I like also making fun of people. Like if we're with a group of friends and we're making fun of each other, I find that to be really funny in physical comedy. If someone trips over something, I tend to laugh. But not bent over laughing. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I did that.
I think for me, as I get older, I've been able to learn to laugh at myself a lot more. And I think that's really helped, and just not to take life too seriously. And I tend to laugh at myself more just because I allow myself to have more playtime and be goofy and end up, you know, laughing with friends and mainly at myself, I'd say.
On the flip side of this, daughters, what makes you cry out of happiness?
The last time I cried out of happiness was at my wedding, but I'm not sure who doesn't cry at their wedding. I think it was the only time I cried was, I was very held together during the vows, but it was the speeches when I got a little emotional. It was during Jennifer's speech when she was talking about growing up without cell phones. So I was like, oh my God, that's really sad that people have to grow up with cell phones now. It made me cry. So I was like, I had such a happy childhood. I'm like the way she described growing up in New Hampshire in this idyllic forest and like running around and playing all day. I was like, that's what I was like, wow, I was so happy. I've never felt so happy. And I did. I think I got teary eyed. I didn't cry, but that was it.
For me, I tend to tear up every time I laugh, and that's almost every single day. So I probably cry in some variation every single day due to that. I don't know. I mean, I laugh so hard I cry all the time. And I think it's just surrounding yourself with wonderful people that both make you laugh and cry at the same time.
Moving on, you were both raised to be world travelers. Where in the world is your favorite place on earth?
That's a really hard question. I feel very lucky to have traveled to so many places to choose. I think one of the highlights was that Emerald Cove in Thailand, of just floating through, you know, you have to float through this dark tunnel swimming for 5 minutes. The 5 minutes seemed like an hour in the pitch black, and then emerging into this, like, what looked like a volcano, like you were inside of a volcano, but it was all lush and the water was green, and we floated out on our backs and there were butterflies. Like, it was so, it was like from another world. And then there was like this little beach. I think that was one of the moments, like, I can't believe this exists. But others, like, you know, maybe Switzerland and Interlaken was pretty spectacular with the waterfalls flowing into that, like, green lake and lime green hills. I mean, it's just spectacular.
I don't know. I think for me, any, I could be anywhere as long as it's, you know, it's really more importantly about the company. But I think, I mean, big impact trips, I think for me, like when we had gone to Africa when I was 13, like that was hugely impactful. And I think it's anytime you go anywhere that is, you know, 180 completely different than your normal, typical day in, day out surroundings, I think that's where you're going to find, you know, the most magic in traveling. And I think that's what I now look for as an adult. I look for off the beaten path places. And I think also importantly, you know, you want to be able to have enough time in places. So I think for any trip, I think the best trips I've ever been are the ones that you're road tripping around the country and you're able to stop and enjoy it periodically and really dig into the culture and meet people and actually spend time in these different countries. So leaving time to, you know, for that fun spontaneity, I think is super important. But I think definitely that a big impactful trip was probably the one with when we went camping in Africa.
Those are great memories. You know, but in recent times with the pandemic, we haven't had much of a chance to travel and make too many memories. Heather, how has the pandemic affected you and your husband, William?
Well, we haven't been able to travel, but it actually happened at a good time for us because we did travel so much in the last 3 years that we specifically said, we are so excited to stay in Austin this year and establish ourselves and our careers and, you know, just feel like we've settled into a new home. So we didn't have any trips planned this year, but I can't imagine what it would have been like last year because we had so many fun things to look forward to. You know, it's been fun. Like, it's been good for our relationship and we've gotten to know each other, you know, on a more personal level. We're spending so much time together. So, yeah, for travel, I don't know. We're going to wait probably for a vaccine and then go somewhere or figure out how to see William's parents. But we're pretty happy staying inside. We're both very content.
And Jennifer, what is your perspective on the pandemic?
I think it's been, you know, as much as I like to get out and travel, I think it's been a unique challenge to be quarantined and be staying at home. But at the same time, I think it makes you appreciate the little road trips and the little weekend getaways so much more. And I think you don't necessarily have to fly around the world for an adventure. I mean, you can go walk around your neighborhood and see things you've never seen before and explore areas of your city that you never took the time to explore because you were so set on leaving the country. So I think that's something that's been, you know, a real surprise and enjoyment during the quarantine is really just exploring what's in our backyard. And I think that's something that is, you know, made me appreciate living in Los Angeles and just all the different pockets and different places that the state has to offer. And you don't have to go, you know, your back out of your backyard to find somewhere interesting and, you know, fascinating and, you know, just somewhere new that you've never seen before.
Those are great perspectives. You two are very optimistic and opportunistic. Sounds like you both grew in 2020 despite all those setbacks. Way to go, daughters. So we're now rounding the final curve with this show and are down to just a few questions. When I look back on my life, I think the two greatest gifts have been you two, my two daughters. But tied for first place, of course, is marriage to your mom, Carla. What I want to know is, what do you think is the greatest gift that you can give yourself today?
That's a really good question. What's the greatest gift we can give ourselves? I think a little bit of grace, maybe. And I think what I mean by, that is just not being such a perfectionist for me personally, and giving myself time to, you know, explore what I want to do and how I want to be seen and who I want to be and not be so hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, that's my answer.
Okay.
Just being kind to myself and not beating myself up for something so silly.
I think for me, I think being more present in my day and day life, you know, in, you know, every activity that I am doing, I think William Penn said it best. He said, time is what we want most and what we use worst. And I think that's something that has really stuck with me, that really taking like a stock of your time and your day and what you're doing and really try to be all in 100%. And that's something I really, the biggest gift is the presence, I think. Not only for yourself, but for other people.
And our final question is, what is the greatest gift you can give each other as sisters?
Quality time, probably. And more, yeah, just quality time and like calling each other and checking in and listening, I think is important. I mean, siblings are the only connection to your past, really, like in 50 years. So it's important to stay close and connected. And maybe some new yoga pants.
And what about you, Jennifer?
Probably about the same. I think, I don't know, just really being able to, you know, dive in and enjoy life to the fullest. And, yeah, I think that's about it.
Well, my wish for both of you is to stay close, keep it tight, be extremely open in communication, support each other, and laugh more. And to wrap up this show, would you each both provide a word of encouragement to our listeners and tell them why it's so important to stick close to your parents?
Jennifer, you go first this time.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. I'm very sad I wasn't able to be there today. I know we were supposed to be spending the day together, but I think, you know, if you're near or apart from your husband, still stay connected, and just make sure to take time to call and FaceTime, and there's a way to stay connected that way, or even writing letters. I know that's something that's also that's really special to do. And just wishing all the dads and role models out there a happy Father's Day.
Once you graduate high school and you leave, there's very few days that you spend with your parents, just in general. So I think it's extremely important to stay connected, whether it's texting or calling or FaceTiming, and especially now, like FaceTime but just stay close and build the relationship always. But yeah, I mean, who knows you better than your parents, really? And you can learn so much about who you are from your parents. So it's a really vital relationship to nurture.
Indeed.
So yeah, I think it's very important, and I think you're a great dad, and I'm excited that we got to hang out. Sorry, Jennifer. We wish you were here too. It's okay. It's okay.
Well, thank you, daughters, for this wonderful show. We're going to do it again next year. It's so easy to be proud of two highly competitive, extremely creative people like my daughters. I love you so much.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you. We love you.
So that's our Father's Day special program. We appreciate you all joining us today. And we also appreciate you listening to all of our shows here at Success Made to Last. If you like this show, please go to successmadetolast.com and rate this show on our contact page. And please tell your friends and family about all of your favorite success shows. And feel free to opt into our weekly newsletter that will give you a shot of wit and wisdom every single week. And as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week and happy Father's Day. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.